Regular or decaf? Hamburger or cheeseburger? Beavers. Chairs or pews? Right side or left side? Sports car, pickup truck? Portland or Salem? So how do you feel about making decisions? You know, some decisions are easy. Some decisions are much more difficult. On top of that, some people just seem to like making decisions. They don't seem to have any problem with it at all. It just seems to come naturally to them. In fact, they seem to be happiest when they get to make decisions. Other people just agonize over it. It doesn't matter what it is they have to decide about. It just causes them angst and worry and concern. Whether you are somebody who finds decision-making easy or something that's very painful, sometimes we're just faced with a choice that we have to make, a choice that we cannot afford to put off or just to try to avoid. This morning, we're going to look at one such decision like that. This morning, we're going to see Jesus press his disciples to make a decision. We're going to then observe how Jesus does not allow his disciples to rebrand him. And then we're going to discover why following Jesus is the best, hardest, most important decision that the disciples and us will ever make. So if you would, turn with me to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. If you didn't bring your own Bible or you don't have a Bible app on your smartphone or tablet, I invite you to take one of the red Bibles in the row in front of you and turn to page 1611, which is where you will find Luke chapter 9. In Luke 9, Jesus presses his disciples to make a decision. Look at verse 18 in Luke chapter 9. Once, when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who do the crowd say that I am?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. And still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" Peter answered, "God's Messiah." Now, the disciples here, they've been mixing with the crowds. In fact, they've just recently returned from a teaching tour in which they went from town to town in Galilee and beyond. And so now, as they've gathered back together once again, Jesus asks them what it is that they are hearing from the crowds about who people think that he is. And the disciples report to him that the general consensus is that he must be some sort of prophet, somebody like John the Baptist or perhaps Elijah or maybe some other great Old Testament prophet. Apparently some think that he might even be one of those prophets who's now come back to life, probably because of his ability to perform these miracles that he's doing. But then Jesus gets to the more important question that he has for them, the real question that he wants to press them with. Regardless of what it is the crowds might think, what Jesus really wants to know is what his disciples think. And so he asks them to lay down their cards on the table, so to speak. He presses them to make their choice. He looks at them and he says, "What do you believe about me? Who is it? Who do you say that I am?" Now the crowds thought that Jesus was a prophet. And they weren't actually completely wrong in this, because a prophet is somebody who receives a message from God and then is equipped or given the responsibility, the task of communicating it to the people. And so in that sense, Jesus does have a prophetic role. But the crowds are not completely right either, because Jesus is more than just a prophet. He's also Messiah. God's promised rescuer, the rescuer, the savior that God had long promised to send to his people. Now, the disciples got that part right. But even they didn't completely understand. They didn't get it completely right. And their misunderstanding could lead to problems. And so Jesus tells them not to tell people that he is Messiah. Because you see, there were two important things that the disciples did not understand yet. The first is that they did not understand what kind of Messiah Jesus was going to be. And secondly, they did not yet understand that Jesus is more than Messiah. They didn't grasp the most important thing about Jesus that they would eventually come to realize, but at this point did not. They did not understand the miraculous thing, the impossible thing, the truly marvelous thing about Jesus, and that he is not just Messiah, but that he is also the eternal Son of the Father. He is God sent by God to us, to rescue us. And because the disciples don't know this yet, this means that Jesus had to keep them quiet. And he needed to still teach them about what was in store for him in the very near future. Look at verse 21. Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone. And he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. And he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." Now, Jesus basically does two things here. First, he tells his disciples not to tell others that he is Messiah. And then secondly, he begins to try to explain to them just exactly what kind of Messiah he's going to be. At this first coming, he is here to serve and he is here to suffer for them. Now, there is going to be a second coming, a coming in which he arrives as king and as conqueror, but not yet. This time around, he is here to suffer, to be rejected, to die, and then to be raised again to life. So right now, he is here as the suffering Messiah. Now, this does not fit at all with what the disciples were expecting. This does not fit at all with what the crowds were expecting. And so Jesus needs to tell his disciples not to tell anyone who they have discovered that he is. Because he knows that if everyone starts to believe that he is in fact the Messiah, which is true, but if they start to believe that and start acting on that, Jesus knows that these crowds are going to try to make him into the Messiah that they expect him to be. He knows that the crowds, the disciples, will try to reshape him according to their expectations of Messiah. In essence, they're going to try to rebrand Jesus. Rebranding, if that's a term that you're not familiar with, is a term that's used when a product is given a new name or a new logo or a new design. And the idea, the goal behind rebranding is to change people's thoughts and ideas about the particular product. Well, increasingly, this idea, this rebranding idea, is also being applied to people. You hear that out in the media, wherever. But when this idea is applied to people, basically what it means is it refers to changing and reshaping how people see this particular person. God, from before creation, had a very specific plan for what kind of rescuer and king the Messiah was going to be. But it's a very different king and rescuer than what the crowds and what the disciples were expecting. And Jesus is not going to allow them to rebrand him, to make him into the kind of Messiah that they want him to be. And so Jesus doesn't let his disciples tell others who he is. And he doesn't let them try to rebrand him. Now, all of this is also God's words to us. And what this means is that Jesus is also looking at each of us and saying, "Who do you believe that I am?" And he's also telling us that we don't get to rebrand him. I don't think that I'm overstating it when I say to you that the question that Jesus asks here, the question, who do you say that I am, is the most important question that has been asked in the last 2,000 years. It's a question that remains relevant across millennia. It's a question that sets the trajectory of each person's life, and as we're going to see very shortly, each person's eternity as well. And just as surely as Jesus asked this question of the disciples, he is asking it of you. Jesus is saying to you, who do you believe that I am? But even as we hear Jesus ask that question of us, we should not confuse that question with an invitation to try to form Jesus into the kind of Messiah that we want him to be or that we expect him to be. Jesus did not allow the crowds to rebrand him. Jesus did not allow the disciples to rebrand him. And he's not going to let us do it either. And what that means is that we don't get to pick what political party we think he might support. We don't get to decide how tolerant he would be on various social issues that we face today. We don't get to choose his position on sexual expression or same-sex marriage. We don't get to modify his declaration that following him is, in fact, the only way that anybody can get back to God. There is no rebranding of Jesus. We follow him as he is actually revealed to us in the scriptures. Or we don't follow him. We don't get to rebrand him. We don't get to reinvent him. We don't get to try and update him. Jesus calls on his followers to be conformed to him. He does not conform to us. And thinking of that should probably cause us to pause. But we can't pause for too long, because deciding to follow Jesus is the best, hardest, most important decision that anybody will ever make. You know, even as Jesus forbids his disciples from telling others that he is the Messiah, and then as he goes on to explain to them what's about to happen to him in these coming weeks, you know, that he is going to suffer, that he's going to be rejected by the religious elite, that he's going to, in fact, be put to death and then raised again from that death. Jesus also goes on to tell his disciples that following him is going to be the best, hardest, and most important decision that they will ever make. Look at verse 23. Then he, Jesus, said to them, the 12 disciples, said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Truly, I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God. So Jesus looks at his disciples and he tells them that following him is going to be the best, hardest, most important decision that they will ever make. It's going to be the hardest decision because it means surrendering complete control of their lives. In verse 23, Jesus says to them, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. This is a call to radical submission. To follow him means that they will need to be willing to set aside their own hopes and dreams. He's telling them that to follow him, they must be prepared to say no to themselves and yes to whatever it is that he asks of them. Every day and in every area of their lives. This is the hardest decision that they will ever make. But Jesus also tells his disciples that this is the most important decision that they will ever make. And it's the most important decision because their lives are actually hanging in the balance. In verse 24 and 25, Jesus describes for his disciples one of the paradoxes of life. Try to protect your life and you lose it. Be willing to lose your life and it's safe forever. Following Jesus was going to be very dangerous for the disciples. Jesus is going to be killed. In the end, many of the disciples will also lose their lives for following Jesus. And yet when they do, when faced with death, none of them turn away. None of them deny Jesus because they realize that by being willing to lose this life, they gain eternal life. Now, had they chosen otherwise, had they decided to try to play it safe, they might have gained a few years in this life, but it would have been at the cost of losing their eternal life. And so deciding whether to follow Jesus or not is truly the most important decision that they will ever make because their life quite literally hangs in the balance. So following Jesus is going to be the hardest as well as the most important decision that these disciples will ever make. But then Jesus also tells his disciples that it is the best decision that they will ever make. And it is the best decision because what they will gain in deciding to follow Jesus is greater than what they can even begin to imagine. Jesus here tells his disciples that one day he is going to come back. Not as a small child born to poor parents, which is how he came the first time. But this time he's going to come back as a king, radiant in the glory of God and leading the armies of heaven. And he warns his disciples that anyone who decides to turn away from me now is not going to have any place with me when I come back. To turn away from Jesus now means that they will miss out on the greatest joy and reward that any person at any time can ever hope to have. So Jesus is telling his disciples that following him is the best decision that they will ever make. Because by choosing him, what they gain is greater than even their wildest dreams. And then here in our text, Jesus concludes with a statement that has caused people no small amount of confusion. Because Jesus says to his disciples, "Some of you who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God." Now, one way to understand this is to say that Jesus thought that he was going to come back again. This is following his death, resurrection, and ascension. But that he was going to come back again before, or still in during the lifetime of his disciples. That, however, cannot be what he meant because at this point, all the disciples are dead. And we're still waiting for Jesus to come back. And he's coming back, he just hasn't come yet. And so here's what I think that Jesus is saying. I think that Jesus is telling his disciples that some of them, even most of them, are going to get to see with their own eyes some of the glories of the kingdom of God even before they die. Three of these disciples are going to get to see the blazing display of Jesus' divine glory at the Transfiguration. In fact, I think we're looking at that text next week. 11 of them are going to get to see the glory of his resurrection, in which through his resurrection, he is vindicated by God. And then these same 11 are going to get to see Jesus ascend to his heavenly throne. Each of these events, the Transfiguration, the resurrection and the ascension are tangible displays of the coming kingdom of God. And so I think that that's what Jesus is referring to here in verse 27. But looking at the larger portion of text there where he talks about what it means to be a disciple, Jesus' words to his disciples there are also his words to us. And that means that following Jesus is the best, hardest, most important decision that you are ever going to make. I think that I can make a pretty good case for saying that following Jesus is the hardest decision that you will ever make. And it's not hard because you need to be smart or athletic or good-looking or even particularly knowledgeable about the Bible in order to make this decision. It's not the hardest decision because you need to be a good person in order to make this decision. In fact, many people are not when they make the decision to follow Jesus. What makes it hard is what Jesus is asking of us, and that is everything. He is asking you for total submission, total surrender to his will, total compliance to his plans and to his standards for your life. He's asking you to lay down your priorities, values, and goals, and then to take up as your own his priorities, values, and goals. And there is something deep in each of our hearts that just rebels against that. But this is fundamental to following Jesus. This is the hardest decision you will ever make. But following Jesus is also the most important decision that you'll ever make. You know, I know it sounds rather melodramatic to say it this way, you know, to say that your life, your soul, hangs in the balance. Except that it's true. You know, deciding to follow Jesus could mean that you won't get the family, the career, or the lifestyle that you dream of. But none of those things are guaranteed anyway, and even if you did get them, they're not going to last forever. But your soul will. God created you with an eternal soul. A soul that will one day be reunited to an indestructible body. And your reconstituted self will then begin an eternal existence that will either be lived in the presence of God or completely apart from God. If you choose Jesus now, then you get God forever. If you choose to live apart from Jesus now, then God is going to grant you that wish for all of eternity. You will get what you choose. And with Jesus is even better than what you can even begin to imagine. And apart from Jesus is going to be worse than your darkest nightmare. And that is why following Jesus is the best decision that you will ever make. Because the hope, the peace, the joy that you can have in this life and having this relationship with Jesus, the unending happiness in the presence of God that you will have in the next life is the greatest reward that this universe can offer to anyone. And any rejection or suffering that you might experience in this life as a follower of Jesus is going to seem the most slight and distant memory when one day you find yourself in the blazing joy and glory of the presence of God. My friends, following Jesus is the best decision that you will ever make. If you are here this morning and you've not made that decision, or you're here this morning as a skeptic, I want you to hear from me that Jesus is calling to you. He is calling you to make this choice. Whether you like to make decisions or not, he's calling you to make this choice. He's calling you to make the best, hardest, most important decision of your life. And this decision really is all of those things. It is. And it is true that your life, your eternal soul, hangs in the balance. Choose Jesus, you will find life. Choose anything else, and it is your life that you will ultimately lose. Now, I know that many of you who are here this morning, it's the reason that you're here this morning, you've already made this decision. And so I hope that as you hear this message, that actually it encourages you. I imagine that it's probably challenging in a few ways as well, but I hope that it's also encouraging, in part because I know that there are times where we are painfully reminded of, or painfully made aware of, how hard it can be to follow Jesus. You know, there are those times where we want to do one thing, and yet we know that Jesus is calling us to do something different. When that happens, in those moments, remember that Jesus is not just calling you to live his way, but he's actually calling you to live the very best way. Because following Jesus makes life work best. And that's true both for this life as well as for the next. If you have questions about this best, hardest, most important decision that you will ever make, come talk to myself after the service. I'd be glad to try to answer your questions, pray with you if there might be something like that. Whether you're a believer or not, or a skeptic, would love to continue this discussion. But right now, as the worship team comes up, let me pray for you. Father, thank you for the Bible.